Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going pretty well. How's it going for you?
Good. I guess we're missing our other partner in crime today.
Yep.
He doesn't know how to tell time.
That's a problem. He should learn how to tell time.
Yeah, he doesn't know East Coast time. Like, it just throws him off. Like, he's only 1 hour from you, but he doesn't know, like, you're not Germany or Japan.
He's like, I guess I won't be available from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. your time, I think. I don't know how that
works. I don't know what he does. Is he round backwards? I don't know what his mind does.
Maybe it was daylight savings time that confused him.
Yeah, threw him off. But anyway, this is Geek Brunch, episode 201.
Yeah.
How have you been lately?
I've been pretty good. Been extraordinarily busy.
At work or school or both?
School and work, both.
Are you getting any farther in your journey to Japan?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of where I was last time on the show. Okay, so on the show last time, I had basically just been told that I had been accepted into UNCC's like study abroad program, which means that they will risk placing me at a school in another country. Mm-hmm. So now I have to apply to that other school, right?
Uh-huh.
The thing is, you basically only have those... Well, for the school I'm going to, maybe other schools are different. But for the school I'm going to, you only have 2 weeks to do everything you need to do.
To apply, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
So that means I need
for,
to get...
For a 6 month, or is it a year, or what is...
It's 10 months.
10 months, okay.
So they let you know, and then they let us know on Friday the 28th of February. And the application is due Monday the 17th. So, yeah.
Wow. Got to turn around quick.
Yep. So, but the thing is, it's not just like, yes, you have to fill out an application form. You have to fill out a housing application form. You have to fill out a visa application form. You have to... No, the visa thing is different. You have to fill out... another form, a certificate of eligibility form, which will be used to help process your visa from the school itself. Because you can't do anything with your visa until, like if you're going on a student visa, you can't do anything until the school that you're going to go to says you're okay, because you're actually going to be a student there. Because you can't just go on a student visa and then not go to school, because that's, visa rules are weird. So you have to do the eligibility form to the school before the application gets there. So that then as soon as you get accepted, you can immediately run down to your local consulate and apply for your visa. Because the visa might take a couple of months to go through. Because you have to go down to the consulate. They send all your stuff to Japan or something like this. And then it comes back to you. It's a really complicated process that I don't fully understand. And so you have to do that.
Once you fill out your paperwork, how do they determine if you get accepted or not? Is it based on
the same way it's a college application?
So they're basing it on your GPA and
GPA and what you write in your essay and
okay.
The letters of you get letters of recommendation from teachers.
Yeah.
So I have to go through. It's like the thing is, you have to get letters of recommendation from your teachers for the UNCC thing. And then you have to get 2 more letters of recommendation from teachers for the study abroad, for the school itself. And then you have to do more letters of recommendations if you want to get some scholarships. Like,
yeah.
Basically, Your teachers basically just write a form letter about how cool you are.
Yeah.
And so, I've been doing all that. On top of that, I didn't mention that you have to get a health exam to prove that you're not like a bomb that's going to explode when you go there. The problem is that the school was closed the first week that we knew we were going. And so you couldn't make an appointment at the school health center that first week. And so I tried to make one with my own personal doctor, but they don't even have an x-ray machine in the office building. And so I couldn't do it there. So I had to like make these deals with the
Well, how does the health screening go? Because I'm just talking out of personal experience. When I go for like a physical or, you know, mm-hmm. to see if you're good, they never have done an x-ray. Do you know what I mean?
No, this is a different thing altogether, because it's like they have to fill out a bunch of little tests.
You have to send semen too?
Probably. It's like, probably.
Jesus like, Christ.
It's like, it's a... Or something to do with liability, like.
Yeah, they don't want you to claim that you broke or you fractured something over there when you already had it fractured or something.
Yeah, I do want to make sure that like you don't have any disease that
can spread.
They don't know about. Like everything has to be tracked, and the idea is that if you die over there or get critically injured, that it wasn't something that they knew before, so there's a liability. It's really a lot of extra work. So I had to get that done before the application was due, but like there was not a lot of appointments available, so you had to like find a way to get yourself in there beforehand. So it's been a busy couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's almost like applying for a job.
Yep.
A lot of interview steps. It's exhausting.
Sure is.
Well, good luck with that. I hope it all pans out. Sounds like you really wanted to do it.
Yep. At this point, I just... since I've already gotten like all the letters of recommendation and stuff from the teachers and all that, like I have to go through with it because it's just, you know, so it's annoying at this part.
Do you have those already or not yet?
Yeah. I did everything as soon as possible. So I have the letters of recommendations. I have my transcripts. I have the entire application filled out. Whoa.
What was that?
That was my phone needing to be quiet.
Wow, that sounded like a scream. That's a terrible ringtone.
No, it's fine in person. It just doesn't translate outside. Like, if you're more than like 3 inches away from it, it just sounds like death. Well, I mean, it sounds like death anyway, but.
What is it? What is the ring?
It's a noise from a TV show. It's like a Japanese TV show. It's just a random noise.
Oh.
It's really obnoxious. Like.
Cool.
My ringtone's from there too, and it's also loud and obnoxious. But it sounds fine when it's sitting beside you. It sounds terrible when it's like across the room.
Yeah, it sounded like more like a Japanese horror movie or something.
No, it's from a kid's show.
It sounded like one of those kids with the hair over their eyes coming at you at 1,000 miles an hour. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like The Ring. Scary stuff. So, what have you been up to reading-wise? Have you read anything, or you probably hadn't had time except reading applications?
I've watched some stuff, but I've read nothing. I have planned on it,
but too much happened. You read a lot of applications. Hello, hello. Lost the connection.
That was weird. I don't even know if it is it me?
I don't know because I'm looking at the signal strength on my internet and it didn't say I lost it. But I think it was Skype. It said Skype lost the internet connection.
The connection is between you and the, I can't check this out at all.
It might be me. I don't know. It happened on Retrocast this morning, so.
Are you downloading stuff?
No.
Yeah. It's like, it says my connection is fast enough. Each one of you should close file sharing programs you have open and stop any downloads or uploads to speed up your connection.
Skype. I didn't even have iTunes up to like download things. So.
I have nothing. Is Barb dying?
Barb, are you dying? Micah was concerned. She's choking on waffles.
Oh, that's not good. You have to just chew them up first.
Yeah. She gets excited sometimes.
I mean, I understand. Waffles are kind of great.
So you were saying you had no opportunity to read anything. Well, let's talk about movies first then.
All right. Let's talk about movies.
Yeah.
On Friday, because I had the day off, Claire and I went to see Nonstop.
Oh, cool.
This is Liam Neeson's most recent, like, wintertime action plot thing. It's very similar, I guess, to, like, you know, Taken and The Gray and all these other movies where Liam Neeson tries to kill everybody he can kill in a two-hour time period. This one is on an airplane, though, so it was weird. So, like, the plot is Liam Neeson is a U.S. Marshal who's an alcoholic and a wreck. And his life is a disaster, and his wife left him, and his daughter died, and all this kind of stuff. And so he's getting on an airplane, and him and this other U.S. Air Marshal are being blackmailed by someone. And you don't know who it is, but someone's threatening to kill someone on the airplane every 20 minutes until they get like $150 million put into their account, right?
How are they killing them?
That's the thing. We have no idea. We don't know how it's going to happen yet.
No, but is it somebody on board killing them, or is it poison, or
we have no idea. We don't. That's the problem, is we don't know. And so Liam Neeson's like, "Well, this is easy. Whoever kills somebody, we'll know who the killer is, and we'll stop them right away, right?" But Liam Neeson can't figure out who the person is, because people are being killed in weird and interesting ways, and I can't give away, because that'll spoil like the entire movie basically. And so Liam Neeson spends this entire time like getting angrier and angrier at people until eventually he solves the day, because it's a movie, whatever, at the end of it. But like, it's just nothing but tension for a solid hour and a half, 2 hour period of that movie. It's really tense.
Taken 3.
On an airplane. Yeah.
I haven't even seen Taken 2 yet.
You're not missing out. Taken 2 isn't very good.
It's not as good as Taken.
Nah, not even close.
I did see an interview with him where he was surprised how much money Taken had made.
Yeah.
Like, it shocked him that it was a hit. Because he was like, this movie plot is very simplistic. He said it in his accent.
Yeah. He talks in his
He is a unique and older type action hero. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's because everyone over like 25 or 30 now is too old to be the action lead anymore. And so it's when you see Liam Neeson doing it, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. It is just a bizarre, like, instead of getting a younger dude to do action movies like young Bruce Willis, it seems like does it seem like we're short of action heroes now? It seems like in the 80s we had a whole bunch of them.
Well, in the 80s we had steroids, and then
in the 90s we had Statham.
There was like in the beginning of the 90s we had like
Jet Li, and
Jet Li had a bunch of them, and Jackie Chan was big, and we had Statham in like the 2000s, and we had a, like, you know, but what we lost was the big steroided up dude, like
Arnold in the slot.
Yeah, we lost those guys doing the same movie over and over again, like in the 80s, which is what we had. They just put them in a different setting and have them shoot everyone in sight, right? Like, so we had those movies, and then those died out.
And now I guess you have the guy from
Now we have
Riddick.
Yeah, there's Vin Diesel and The Rock. Diesel. They don't do the same kind of movie. They don't do that the same type of action movie.
No, they're all over the place. I guess you could call that one that you like a lot
an action movie franchise.
That's an action movie, right?
Yeah, that's like the biggest action franchise.
And there's Expendables, but it plays off of them being old action stereotypes.
Expendables really only exists because all those guys, we like them guys being old.
Yeah.
And so, but like, I mean, well, that exists.
That's the whole premise of it. It's like, here's all the guys you loved in the action movies. We're going to throw them all together.
Yeah. Remember Jean-Claude Van Damme? Here you go.
Yeah, he's a bad guy now.
Have some more of that. But like, yeah, we don't have as much of the one dude being real big fighting against everyone else. Yeah. Like, we don't have Universal Soldiers as much. So it seemed like we don't have the same kind of action hero. The action hero now is more suave and he's smart. He doesn't just punch things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there aren't as many. Like the action hero now is a giant robot, you know?
Right.
Like, Transformers are big.
All the licensed stuff is big.
Yeah.
It's not too much.
But
like,
those aren't. Yeah, but like, you know, but like Tony Stark isn't, like, Robert Downey Jr. isn't an action hero as much, right? Like,
no, he is a licensed Iron Man, you know?
Yeah, he says, he walks around, he says a lot of really smart quips, but like, Tony Stark doesn't fight anybody. Iron Man fights stuff.
In Iron Man 3, he did the MacGyver.
Well, yeah, there was that one part, right? But like, it isn't the same thing. Like, you know, he after a certain fashion, he gets into a costume to do all of his fighting.
Yeah.
And the same with like all the superheroes is that, like, you know, it isn't quite the same. Like, I think Thor is probably close, right? Like, because Thor is always just Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Dark World was kind of an action movie. Lots of slow bits, but.
Yeah, I don't think of them as action movies. I think of them more as superhero movies, or I kind of group those differently. Whereas, like, Die Hard is like, that to me is an action movie with some guy they just made up and.
Yeah. Oh no, The Fast and the Furious is the only like original action movie franchise that is like has been viable in the past like 10, 15 years.
It seems like they still make them, but. A lot of them go direct to DVD, it seems like.
No, they come out. They got like The Shooter, and like they make these movies still exist, but they come out and they're dead immediately.
Yeah, the last one.
Jason Statham hasn't made money in a movie, and like all the movies open to $20 million, like.
And then it goes down to nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So they still get made every now and then because, like, on the whole. If you have a crew that knows what they're doing, they're cheap to make. And they're not like horror movies, but they're not terribly expensive unless you're pulling in a lot of explosions.
And they probably sell a lot on DVDs or downloads and that kind of stuff. So.
Also, they're also because of the plot, and usually it's the same thing with that's why blockbusters are so big nowadays. It's because most of them are very thin on plot, and it's not like being negative at all, but like a lot of them are thin on plot, and the dialogue. Is sort of sparse. They're easier to sell overseas. You don't need them to be. You don't need people to have really good translations because all you need is the explosions, right? So.
Yeah.
The spectacle of, like, the most recent Pirates movie, the fact that, like, you know, the plot or whatever isn't as good as the first one doesn't matter as much because you're going to sell it to countries where. A lot of the stuff is lost anyway through translation. And so, if you can make $50 million more in Russia, go ahead and do that.
Yeah. Like, John Carter did way better overseas than it did here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that movie's so good, too. I don't know. I just don't understand its failure. Other than...
Its title is
horrible
really
marketing. It's like...
It's a really bad title.
John Carter isn't like Tarzan.
Jack Reacher's cousin.
Like, it's not a name that people know. But if you called it, like, Warlord of Mars, it might have done better.
Probably.
Because it you relate that to science fiction, or you know what I mean? John Carter could be a biography about some guy that played basketball. You don't know.
His brother.
Yeah. It's like, that's bad marketing.
Yeah. I think the name was a terrible mistake. I think when they released it, I think it took too long to make.
Yeah, it was too much money and too long to make. But I was disappointed because I wanted to see more of it. Because there's a lot to tell still.
Well, you won't be seeing more of it in movie form for another 10, 15 years until they decide to reboot it again.
Yeah, I think it'll be longer than that. Because usually when something's a failure, they have a tendency not to reboot it as frequently.
Right, but I'm saying they might give it a try. If a new regime comes in and feels they can make money off of it, they might try it out.
Yeah.
I think all the guys who are responsible, like not the director and so forth, but like the producers who are in charge of that, the guys who are in charge of, the Johnny Depp movie last year, the Lone Ranger, like all those guys are gone basically.
Yeah, that was a flop.
Like those guys, I mean, they're not gone from the company or anything like that, but like as far as who's in position to make decisions on movies and franchises, that kind of stuff, those guys are ousted because they spend too much money and didn't get results.
Yeah, there were aspects of that that I liked, but it was a horrible rendition of it.
It
didn't know what to be. It tried to be part comedy, part action, and it didn't succeed at either one.
Well, it's because it was made over a long period of time.
Yeah.
Like this, some of the problems you have were like they had an idea for a franchise. And the script wasn't anywhere close to complete when they started filming it. And then they ran over budget and things got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then they stopped the movie. The movie was actually canceled. And then they kept it up again. So, and a similar thing with John Carter, where the movie was being made. That one never got canceled, I don't think. But it took longer than they expected to, and then it went way over budget.
So Lone Rangers, though, it is well known, and I think about the one that was done in the 80s, and that wasn't even a good one.
Yeah.
And when I think Lone Ranger, I still think the old serial TV show, you know?
And I think that's part of the problem.
Because the others are so bad. I guess some people liked it. I mean,
it didn't flop. Like, I mean, it's a big budget movie, so like it flopped in terms of not making what they wanted to make, but it still made like $100 million in America. Like,
it's just low for Disney and what they put into it.
It's low for what they put into it. They put a lot of money into it and expected more out of it. And honestly, if it wasn't for Johnny Depp, I'm not sure if it would have did what it did at all.
Yeah. Well, I watched 300, A Rise of an Empire, I think it's called, or something.
Something like that. It has a subtitle. Is that book out yet? Has Frank Miller done it, or is it on?
I don't know. The book is supposed to be Xerxes. It's titled Xerxes.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, like, I'll go to Amazon and see if I could order it.
Xerxes.
300...
You can get Rise of an Empire, How One Man United Greece to Defeat Xerxes Persians in paperback. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think it's out yet.
Yeah, that's interesting. Rise of an Empire, Kindle edition. But this was a unique take in the movie because I really liked it, but as a moviegoer, it took me a little bit of time, and I asked Barb some questions. But I thought it was a sequel.
No, it's not.
Just going in, and what it is it's like you saw 300. This is happening at the exact same time that 300 happened.
Right.
Like almost in parallel through different eyes. Through Athens, you know what was going on, and the guy was a warrior in Athens.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get some more backstories on the god guy that was attacking King Leonidas.
Yeah.
And it was really good. I mean, I know a lot of people shit on it, but I swear to you, for 2 hours or however long the movie, I was sucked in. Like, I didn't think of anything else. And I thought it was great.
Is it not getting good reviews? I didn't even know.
If you just go to, like, I think it's making money. Like, its first weekend, it did $45 million. Like, I don't know if that's good, but it sounds good to me. You know, $45 million is a pretty good opening. I don't know what the budget was.
$110 million or something around there.
I hope it does good, because I just thought it was phenomenal. Like,
it'll make its money back. There's no worry about that.
It was awesome, because think of it as 300, but 300 on ships. Like, the Persians, I think, were known a lot for building their ships and stuff, and it was like a naval battle, you know, with Greeks and Persians. It was awesome.
I like boats.
And it was cool, because the main villain of the I don't know, I felt kind of sympathetic towards her. Like,
Who was the main villain of this one?
She was a female, and she was a Greek that was treated really bad by Greeks. I mean, she had a horrible backstory. She was raised a Greeks, and as Greece was coming into power, her family was killed in front of her, raped, and then she was put in a slave ship and treated like a slave and raped and over again. And there was a Persian guy, the guy played by that tall gladiator that's in Spartacus. What was his name?
Oh, yeah. God, I don't remember his name. Hold on, I'll figure
it out. He was the Torres guy. I don't know. He's the bald guy.
Yeah.
He was played by him, and he played the Persian. He had a really small role, but he, like, raised her. He, like, found her almost near death on the street. And he taught her to fight, like, wicked, to the point where she surpassed anybody else. She surpassed all her teachers. She was awesome with an arrow. She was awesome with swords. She became so damn badass. And she had, in the back of her mind, she even led that god guy, that bald guy that was in the first 300. She even is the one that encouraged him to seek revenge for his father's death. And so she's really the instigator of what happened in 300. And she was amazing, though. I felt sympathetic towards her just because of her back. I could see somebody as a little girl that was treated like that up until like her late teens, and, you know, hating somebody so much and just saying, you know, that's Greece. I hate everything that I want to do with my life is seek vengeance against them. And she had these badass ships. So the Persians were known for building these badass ships with these rams in the front. But Greece, man, this guy was so damn smart. Like, he'd get the ships to, like, even though they were outgunned, they'd, like, form this weird circle. And then they would, like, ram. He would say, their ships are so damn powerful, we can't attack them from the front, we can't attack them from the rear, but their weak point is the middle. And so they would, like, ram these ships in the middle, and then they'd jump from ship to ship and just slaughter them. It was freaking awesome. But the Persians had them totally outnumbered. And it looked like they were going to win until the wife of Leonidas, who was in the first 300, kind of came to the rescue. But it is a freaking awesome movie. Visually, it's like amazing. It's like even the the way the fight scenes are choreographed with swords and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. A lot of limbs being chopped off. It's crazy. I loved it. It was good. I'd recommend it. If you like 300, you'll love this movie.
Oh, check it out.
I can't wait to see it again. I really can't. Matter of fact, it made me want to watch 300 again, because it's going along in parallel, you know, just to see how well it did. So I'll probably be checking out 300 It said based on a graphic novel, Xerxes, and that's weird it's not out.
Well, it's because I thought it was supposed to come out at the at the same time. Frank Miller was supposed to have written it already.
Oh, I just don't see it.
But Frank Miller probably got busy or something.
Have you ever read 300?
Yeah.
Is it as good as the movie?
It is almost the exact same as the movie.
That's cool.
Like, almost the exact same. And it's written in that, it's like it's that the trade is wide format too, so it looks like the movie when you're looking at it. So, yeah.
I might buy that. I have a Amazon gift certificate. It might be.
It should be cheap by now too.
That's hardcover, $17.40. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely Frank Miller stuff. Oh, you can get the Kindle edition.
Yep. I don't like digital though.
I know. But yeah, it's I haven't read it in a while. Pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good film. Any other films that you watched?
I watched two documentaries about basketball.
Okay, what do you got?
I got the NBA TV made. It's a documentary called The Dream Team, which is about the 1992 U.S. Olympic basketball team. And that was just about. there's a lot of footage of stuff of like the practices that no one had ever seen before, and sort of about like the global importance of what happened when that team went to Barcelona and beat everyone by like 90 points. And sort of how like
I remember when I
basketball as a whole.
I remember when it happened, I felt kind of
you feel bad for everybody else?
Well, I felt bad and I felt like it wasn't fair to the,
but it was fair.
The college people. It's fair from a competitive league, like to win a gold medal. It is fair because you're supposed to take your best athletes and put them in the Olympics, right?
Well, the problem was all the other countries were doing that, and we were the only country who wasn't doing it.
Right. Like the reason I didn't like it was because of that. Because I thought it was taken away from other opportunities from the college players and stuff, but they still had like Christian Lechner and a couple others, right?
No, just Lechner. He's the only one.
Was he the only one? Are you sure there wasn't one more?
Nope, just Lechner.
Okay, so Christian Lechner was the only one.
He was the only college kid on the team. Yeah.
Yeah.
They still do that now. They still put one college kid on the team all the time.
But did we win the gold medal last time?
Yeah.
Have we
last two times?
Have we won consecutive every year?
Yeah. Didn't win in 2004.
Well, did we win it? Did we medal?
We got the bronze medal in 2004.
Oh wow, we must have.
We lost to Argentina in the semifinals, and then beat Greece, I think, to get the bronze medal. It's one of those things where
Who was the big players in 2004, like for us?
It was LeBron as a rookie. It was LeBron and Carmelo as rookies.
Oh, okay.
And Allen Iverson when he was almost too old. And it was bad timing on our – because like we honestly almost sent a college team at that point because the best players on the team were like 18 and 19 years old. And then there was a miscalculation on like the chemistry of the team. They didn't play well together, and it didn't work out well for anyone there. And then also, Manu Ginobili was really freaking good, and no one knew.
Yeah.
No one was prepared for how good Manu Ginobili was. And after, because by then.
That guy was amazing.
Yeah. So in 2004, Manu Ginobili's unstoppable.
Is he still playing?
Yeah.
Yeah, is he still a Spur?
He still plays for the Spurs.
He's been there almost his whole career, hasn't he?
Yeah, his entire NBA career he's been with the Spurs.
Yeah. I don't follow basketball too much more anymore, but I always follow the when it's the tournament, but not when
The regular season.
Yeah, the regular season. Yeah. I've been watching the Lobos. They won their tournament.
Yeah. Go New Mexico.
They give me stress, dude. I swear, man. I've never seen they're good. I'll give them that. They're really good. But I've never seen a team choke so bad when you throw like a press on them. just do something different. Like, they can't adapt very well. Like, it takes them too damn long to adjust. And if I was that damn coach, I would say, you throw, 1-3-1 press on me and you turn over the ball twice. Time out. Okay, let's break this sucker. Put some guys in the corners and do something. You know,
get a shot.
There's ways to break a 1-3-1.
Beating the press is not hard at all. Like, beating a press and beating a zone is really easy.
No, but it's psychologically devastating when you can't get out of it. Like,
you just got no. Yeah, it's hard if you don't know what you're doing to do against
it. Because usually it's like 3 turnovers in a row before you can recoup. You know what I mean? Yeah. That could be 6 to even more points if they hit threes. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. When I played high school basketball, it was my favorite thing to do. God, I would love when we pressed. Like, my adrenaline would go up, and it was just like the best thing ever. It was exhausting though. Mm-hmm. But when you see a team fall apart, that's like the most rewarding thing. When you get the ball like 2-3 times in a row.
Yep.
And then it even freaks them out when you pull out of it, and just go back to a zone or a man to man.
Yeah, because they're not ready for it.
They're not ready for it. It changes momentum. This is the part of the show Bill loves.
His favorite part.
Yeah, his favorite part is talking about basketball. He's like right now screaming, "Put that hockey puck in the net!" So what was the other documentary?
The other documentary was called The Other Dream Team. This is about Lithuania's team. Well, it's not about Lithuania's 92 team, even though most of the members of that team were in the documentary, at least the 4 biggest guys. This was mostly about basketball for Lithuania or for Lithuanians during the Soviet occupation.
Yeah.
And so Lithuania loves basketball. Like, for people who don't know, as far as countries that like basketball, it goes either 1 or 2, either Philippines, Lithuania, or Lithuania, Philippines, as far as countries, like, per capita, most basketball played everywhere, right? Like, those 2 countries love basketball more than anyone else on the planet. And so, Lithuania is all about basketball. In the 30s, they used to win European championships. And in the 40s, the Soviet Union took over, basically, all of those, like, all the Soviet bloc countries, right? So, Lithuania, Yugoslavia, the whole group, everyone's gone. Everyone's part of the Soviet Union now, right? So, Lithuania always wanted to, like, all the countries wanted their own independence, right? But, like, Lithuania in particular, being very small and tiny, really wanted to show their own independence. And so, this whole time, there's all this political stuff going on. And the Soviet national basketball team, the one that beat the American college guys in 88, which is the reason why the NBA went in 92, most of those, like the 4 best players on the team, were Lithuanian players. And so between 88 and 92, Lithuania gained its independence. And so, like, the documentary is talking to the players and their families and all this about what's going on in the country at the time period, and like the Soviets would bring tanks in and like shoot people and run over people and all this kind of stuff. It was like really bad. But Lithuania has like elected its own president. I don't know if he was a president or not, I forget his title, but they elect their own leader and they're striving for independence, and no one is like, they're trying to get, it's the whole thing with revolutions where you have to get other countries to recognize you as a country. So they're going through this whole process. And in the meantime, there's also this attempt to get their basketball players, all like Soviet basketball players in general, to come to the United States, right? So at one point in time, the Portland Trailblazers draft. I can't think of what this guy's name is anymore. Sadonis. They draft this Russian dude named Sadonis, but they can't get him because the USSR won't let him come over here and play. They're just like, that's not going to happen. And so there's all this struggles. There's people talking about doing all this stuff, right? And eventually, sometime around 91-ish, Lithuania gains its independence. And so Lithuania comes out as, and they get all their players who are, there's a couple of guys who by this point in time in the early 90s have made it to the NBA. And there's a couple of guys playing in Europe and all this stuff. And they get them to all come back to play for Lithuania. The problem is that Lithuania as a country has no money. Their sports commission has no money. The country itself has no money because they're a part of the Soviet Union. And all their crops and everything that they did to make money went into the Soviet Union, and they didn't have any for themselves. When they broke off and became independent, it wasn't like they were able to then just take all the money back or keep all the production they did, didn't just all of a sudden come to them automatically. So they didn't have enough money to send their players to Barcelona, right? And so I haven't figured out this dude's name, but Donnie Nelson, son of Don Nelson, who was the coach of the Golden State Warriors at the time, and now he works for the Dallas Mavericks as sort of like this general manager and like president of basketball operation stuff. Cool dude. His son is really good friends with this guy on the Lithuanian national team. And they basically would go around giving speeches to people in San Francisco and Oakland and all those places around there to raise money. So they would go literally anywhere to talk to you for like $200, right? And all the money they made, they send it back to Lithuania to try to make enough money. And they were playing a game in Detroit one night, and they go to a Grateful Dead concert. And the Grateful Dead, being out of their fucking minds as they were in that time, well, they always out of their minds completely. They were too high to think. Was really a big fan. Well, the Grateful Dead guys love basketball.
Do they really?
Yeah, they love basketball. And they love Bill Walton, who was high out of his mind too, and also loves the Grateful. Like, Bill Walton, for anyone who doesn't know, he was going to be one of the best players of all time, and then his leg stopped working, so he wasn't. But he's a fun announcer, and he loves the Grateful Dead. And so all this stuff is going on. And then the Grateful Dead hears about the Yugoslavian national team. And so they decide to fund the Yugoslavian national team. They send them a bunch of tie-dyed, like, Lithuanian national jerseys. So, like, it's the Lithuanian flag colors, but tie-dyed up. And they had their super high artist guy, like, draw the picture of the skeleton, like, dunking a basketball for Yugoslavia. It's really freaking weird. And anyway, the Grateful Dead basically funds their entire trip, their entire, like, sports, like, their basketball team, to do the trials and to get to the Olympics, right? And so it's about that, and then the Olympic team, and they go up there, and they lose to the American team by, like, 40 points, but it's no big deal. But then they play against the Russian team, or, like, you know, at this point in time, Russia, well, the Soviet Union is falling apart, and so the Yugoslavian team, which was the best players from the Soviet Union, and they play against the Soviet team, and they win that game, and it's a big deal, and they celebrate and have a big party, and, like, that's why, if you ever look at pictures from the 92, if you look at the Dream Team pictures from the gold medal ceremony, you'll notice that the guys in bronze medal are all wearing obnoxiously loud tie-dye t-shirts and shorts. Like, they're just wearing tie-dye outfits because that's the little Lithuanian team who were happy. They were, I guess, paying homage or being thankful to the Grateful Dead for basically giving them all the money they needed to make it there. So it's a really cool documentary. It's called The Other Dream Team. I have it on DVD, but I don't know if it's on. I don't think it's on Netflix or Amazon Prime or anything like that.
You sure do love your NBA.
I do.
Do you watch a game a week, or do you watch more than that?
Probably more. Well,
is it a background? Is it like a more of a background?
It's background. Yep. I put it on. It stays on in the background.
Studying or reading or whatever.
Yep. So I don't, because like you can look up if something cool happens, but you don't have to. Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime, so it's probably on Netflix too.
Denver beat Miami.
They sure did. Miami has basically just stopped playing basketball over the past like week and a half. They seem to be old and tired.
I heard rumor that LeBron wants to go to New York.
Nah. New York sucks. He's only going to go where he can win. He's not going to go to New York because nobody can win in New York.
Trying to think what I've watched.
What have you watched?
I don't know. I'm caught up on Walking Dead, and that show seems to always catch my attention. I always like it. I always watch it within the week that it appears.
You don't watch it live?
No, never watch it live. I liked it. It's a good horror. I tend to like the horror movies. I saw the Bates Motel. The woman that plays Norman Bates' mom is so good. She's just a great actress for that role. I saw the first episode of the second season. Walking Dead, I don't want to spoil stuff. It is interesting because at the last of last season, the prison gets, you know, broken into by the governor, and they pretty much they go up into different locations. So the last couple of episodes have been rotating amongst the cast members. The most stressful one, the one that gets me so much stressed, are the ones that have the baby. Oh God, right. Almighty. I just don't know how you would survive. Every time the baby just starts crying, I'm like, you guys are dead. They have the two little girls, the baby, and I can't even remember their names. It has the one girl that was banished. What are their names, Barb?
Clementine.
Therese, and who's the girl that's with Therese, the lady? She's the one with the short hair. That Carol, yeah. That's the most stressful one to me, just because of the situation they're in. But, yeah, there was one weird episode with Daryl and the one girl I don't like. She's so annoying. It almost seems like they're forming some kind of relationship or something. So Walking Dead, I watch every week. The Bates Motel, I'll probably watch every week. I stopped watching True Detectives, but Barb's still watching it.
Didn't like it?
It's not that it wasn't good. It is just so slow for me, right. Personally. The acting is phenomenal. I actually remember quotes from it and stuff like that. But I don't want to hold Barb back on that show because she's waiting for me when I'm not in the mood for it. I was just like, go ahead and watch it, you know, go ahead and watch it. And if I want to watch it, I'll see it in HBO Go. Well, the other movie I watched is the premiere of, God dang, what is the title? I'm getting old. The From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, the Rodriguez
thing? The Rodriguez thing.
Sweet. How was it?
So it was on the El Rey Network, which is finally getting good because I'm like, they're showing like kung fu movies and like really bad grindhouse movies, and you can watch Starsky and Hutch, all kinds of shit. The X-Files. They're starting to get a lot of programming in that I like. And this is their premiere of their own TV show. And it's the premise of the two brothers. Like, you know, it's kind of retelling the story, essentially. Hmm. The brothers, he got the crazy brother. And the one brother that George Clooney character is trying to keep his other brother in sync so they can escape to Mexico. And they get in a gunfight, and I was surprised to see Don Johnson in.
Oh wow!
He was in the premiere as one of the deputies or sheriffs in that particular town. And it's an interesting take on it because you get a lot of backstory, like Quentin Tarantino's character, how crazy he is, but. It almost shows visions of, like, the vampires and stuff, like, effing with his head. Like, so you don't know if it's real or if he's really totally nuts. But it's weird because he always fucks up stuff for him and his brother just because he'll kill somebody and get them in more trouble than they necessarily need to be in. But I'd recommend it for anybody that likes that franchise. It's definitely not hit the vampire mark yet, other than through like some weird scenes that the brothers seeing, and they're not necessarily vampires. They're more like snake creatures. It looks like it has an interesting opening where this one girl falls into this pit of snakes and stuff, and I don't know what that has to do with anything, but maybe we'll find out. If they're vampires or snake people, who knows?
Hmm.
But that's on the El Rey network. I don't know who gets that, but I know it's on DirecTV. And it's well done. It's not as good. Like if I wanted to watch Walking Dead or Bates Motel, I'd choose those over this. But
right.
Long shot. Bates Motel is it has me. It's a good show. It seems like almost everything I watch is horror genre now. It's weird. I can't even name a show except for Comic Book Men and Toy Hunter that are more of the reality shows that aren't real.
Mm-hmm.
That I still watch, and I usually just watch those because of the material they're covering. I know they're set up and they can't all be real, but they still entertain me because of I like old toys and I like comic books. In or out, Harley? So, any other TV or movies? Any anime?
No, nothing.
Wow.
There's one I'm gonna watch, I think. I don't know. But I haven't watched it yet or anything like that, so.
You haven't had any other projects you've had to watch in school?
No, not yet. We had to write about that one I told you all about last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we haven't had to watch anything. I'm not sure what's coming up next. I could look at the syllabus, but that would spoil the surprise, so.
I'm gonna throw something at you and you could tell me if you've heard of it or played it.
Sure.
Because I just learned about this today in Retrocast. I didn't know. TurboGrafx-16.
The console?
Yeah. Did you ever hear about that?
Yeah.
That game system's like totally slid under my radar.
It was not as popular.
I didn't know. That must have like went in and out.
And I think it was expensive. I'm not entirely
sure. Yeah, that's what Chris was telling me.
Yeah, I think it was expensive.
He said the graphics were way better than Nintendo or Saga, Sega's.
Sega, yeah. No, it looked real good.
But it was too damn expensive. It was the NEC offering, I think. But I never heard of it. I know I heard of the one game, because I used to get the gaming magazine Splatterhouse, and the guy always looked like Jason.
Jason, yep.
Yeah.
The other thing came out in 89. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Must have lasted about a year.
It lasted about 5 years, I think. 5 or 6 years before it was discontinued. Yeah.
Even the game delivery system was very different. There were like little slidey cartridges, yeah. Like thin, mm-hmm. thin things.
It was closer to like computer architecture back then than
yeah.
like the Nintendo or Sega were. But it had some good games.
Never did you play it?
Not at the time. I didn't play it till late. I could not, like, I couldn't afford it, and nobody I knew had, like, it was, yeah. By the time it died, I would have been, like, 5 or 6 years old, so. But it had a lot of good stuff.
Let me see, comic book wise. Let me see if I read anything worth talking about that I haven't already talked about in another podcast. I read a lot of Marvel, like some of their new offerings. Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 2. That one tends to be one of my favorites of the new Marvel now, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I like that. This one was an interesting because it had, you remember Simonson's run that Enchantress's yeah. sister, L'Oreal, or whatever her name is, L'Oreal? Is that mm-hmm. her name? He's trying to get her back into Asgard, and she's kind of like living on Earth and doing a lot of heists and stealing and stuff, and he's trying to bring her in. He doesn't bring her in, but it's an interesting concept because he starts off on the speed dating thing. Like, Loki's at the speed dating thing, and he's talking about what happened. And it was a very interesting... I never thought speed dating would make for good reading, but it did. Avengers Undercover, number 1, took off where Avengers Arena, which I thought was amazing. It's like you take a bunch of kids that are superheroes, throw them on a, you know, murder island that, and let them either kill or survive. What was that movie, Lord of the Flies? It's kind of like that. Do you remember that? Flies. Do you remember that?
Book. I had to read it in like elementary school.
Yeah, Lord of the Flies with superheroes, or like kind of like Lost. You know, a bunch of people stuck on an island, and their arcade is egging them on to kill each other, essentially. And they're all kids that either had Avengers Academy, X-Men, you know, from their situation, or the Braddock School of Braddock, which has a bunch of the European kids. And there's a lot of other... There's one from... No, Latveria didn't have one. I'm thinking of the Matt Kent series. They do now. Latveria has its own school. But... It was freaking awesome, and it had a horrible ending where, you know, a lot of kids did die, a handful of them did die, and then they made a pact to never tell anybody about it. But what did Arcade do at the end of this series is he released the whole filming of everything that happened on YouTube. So now these kids are living a life of the aftermath of that, and even though everybody knows this isn't reality TV, it's real. They still have like their favorites and characters that they hate because it became such a viral. Viral things are crazy. I mean, I saw viral things that Betty White died. She didn't die. And then there was a thing with Newman dying, you know, from Seinfeld, and he didn't die. Yeah. That's just, why would somebody start that shit if they didn't know?
Funny.
It's not really funny when you're playing
death. I don't think it's funny, but that's what people think. People think this kind of stuff is funny.
But
the idea of pulling a trick on someone is just too enticing to a lot of people.
Hmm.
But I don't like jokes. I'm not a funny person, though, so. I just think it's cruel.
Yeah, that's...
There's a whole string of, like, this idea of just, if you can trick somebody, then you can make fun of them for being stupid for believing you. So, like, now you can't believe anything you see on the internet at all because...
Yeah, it's stupid and ironic at the same time.
Yeah,
so I'm... Avengers Undercover Hopeless writes it, and I think it's amazing. And then the art is great. I stopped reading Arena... And then I read like 8 of them in a row, and I just fell in love with it. Now this is the aftermath of it, and it is really, really good. I'd highly recommend it. Secret Avengers, that was re-released. That is a weird book because it's
so not, who's what is it now?
Right now it's they're part of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's still the same group as the previous incarnation. It's like Hawkeye, Spider-Woman, Black Widow, Maria Hill, Nick Fury, the one that – the new one, not the old
right.
one. Coulson from the movies and TV show. And I think there might be two others, but – it is weird. It's the Alex Cott version of it, and the art is very reminiscent of like Hawkeye or the Superior Foes of Spider-Man, kind of in that style. But it tries to be funny, but it's not yet funny. At least I'm not laughing at it. But it's still entertaining. Like, I'm still enjoying the journey, but it's just... kind of weird right now, but that's only after one issue, so I can't judge it yet. Captain Marvel number one. This is the woman that I usually don't like.
Kelly Sue.
But I thought it was okay. It seems like Captain Marvel's gonna go back, you know. Tony Stark asked her to go back into space, and she's willing to do that. I didn't realize she was in a relationship with Rhodey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that shocked the hell out of me. It must have happened in the previous run, you know?
Yeah.
Because it seems like they're real intimate. Like, he seemed shocked that, like, she was like, I need to do this for me. And she's, like, leaving the space and leaving him. And he's like, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But it made it sound like they've had this pretty strong relationship, and now they're separating. Let's see. And it flash forwarded, like, so you do see some space adventure with Captain Marvel in it. X-Factor, I'm just going through the motions on. It's very weird for me to read a Peter David book and not know what the hell this is, where this is going or what it's doing. Or plus I have no, I don't know why I'm still reading it. Because I don't like Gambit, and I'm not a big Quicksilver fan.
Well, and
now they put in Danger, and I like Polaris, but
wait, Danger's still around?
Yeah, they brought her back as she was. They're supposedly a Gambit Island, like a island of thieves. It's not Gambit's Island, but
yeah, an island full of.
What is the organization he belongs to? The Thieves Guild. Well, yeah. they have an island, actually.
Of course they do.
And I guess they had Danger there, and
they stole Danger?
Yeah, they stole Danger, and she was being used there against her will, and now this team rescued her, and now she's part of X-Factor.
Huh.
But it's just weird. It's a weird book, and they're being guided to each task by this company. They work for a company. I can't remember what it's called. Servel. Kind of like that animal, I think. Like the... I don't know how to even pronounce it. It's like it's like a smaller leopard. Cerevel, or... I can't remember.
Oh,
I'm trying to give you a name, but I can't. It's like playing one of those games. Sounds like, but that's an interesting. And then I read Archie 653, which was the end of their Archie's Tour, which it was an interesting book. What got me to buy it was the cover. It was the variant cover. It looked very retro-ish looking. And I didn't read the other parts, but this was the final leg of their tour. And he's supposedly dating the girl still from Josie and the Pussycats.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very... I guess she's much older. Like, he's still in school, and she's out of school, and she's still touring. And they're like, I love you, but they're going to be separate for a long, long time.
Right.
And then the Cheryl Blossom character, who I don't know very well, seems like a real bitch because she's trying to manipulate shit on the tour.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that's the Archies. And then the other highlight of the week was Superman Wonder Woman by Charles Soule and Tony Daniel. Tony Daniel's art is really good on this book. And they explore the relationship between Superman and Wonder Woman, and it's pretty freaking amazing. And they also are dealing with Zod and Fiora. So it's pretty interesting to see, like, Zod and Fiora kick Superman's ass, but Wonder Woman can hold her own, because this Superman is super strong and super powerful, but he never was trained. Do you know what I mean? He's out there with his powers, but he's not trained to be a warrior. Whereas General Zod, you know, he was a general. He was trained in the art of war, and so was Fiora.
So is this book current?
Yeah, it's current.
Okay. I was wondering if over the past, how long has 52 been going on? 3 years? Is this year three or year four?
Year three, I believe.
With the league, has he not gotten better yet, or is 3 years not enough time?
Superman's gotten better. He's learning, like, he's fought Doomsday, and he's fought some other villains, and he's starting to use his mind a little more, and his relationship with Batman's forming a lot, and 3 years in, and plus he fought a little bit, probably as he learned stuff as a kid, but it's very different than when Wonder Woman, who was raised to be a warrior.
Right.
So when she fights these guys, she can fight on her own. Like,
right.
She can stand up to Zod, and because she knows Superman still holds back. He doesn't want to use all his power sets, and Wonder Woman just is able to unleash. Like, her mind is still like a warrior. I don't even think she would hold back to kill somebody. Do you know what I mean? She's she's battle proven, and that's why she can stand up to Zod. And Superman's looking more like, hey, my planet was destroyed, and there's these are people, and they do not know the relationship between Zod and his father yet. So he wants to learn from them. They're his people. And he just had a bad experience with Hell, which was another Kryptonian, but it's an interesting series, and looks like they got the Nasty on because Wonder Woman for Christmas gave him sex or downtime. In other words, she said, I've talked to Batman and the other leaguers, and they're covering for us so we could go get it on. So I like it a lot. And they've introduced some other person that's manipulating, or that released the Superman, a Wonder Woman relationship onto the interwebs. Kind of like things going viral. And you have the people that think it's great because, you know, it's like two celebrities being great. And then you have all the people that are in deep fear because they're like, these guys are so powerful. What if they have babies? And you know what I mean?
Right.
Becomes too powerful, and they're going to lead the world into destruction. And then there's Luther, who's sitting in his prison wanting to kill both of them.
Right.
So, yeah, it was some good comics. I think that's all that I really wanted to talk about. I'm finally caught up on Crossed, and there was a story I haven't read before that I thought was pretty unique. It was a sadder story. It was about based. It was based in Japan, and some kind of Japan monastery. So this girl goes to America, and I guess her family's real traditional and such, but she goes to America for school or whatever, and then comes back home, and you're like, why did she come back home? And she draws, like, for anime or manga. Mm-hmm. She draws the comics. She doesn't draw anime. She's not doing the animation.
Right.
So she's doing manga comics and really violent manga comics, very sexual and stuff. And then there's this outbreak in this monastery, and there's these three American people. And you find out that this guy came there to come find this girl that was in the Americas again and seek justice for her because she was date raped in America. You find out that they gave her drugs. And then they made this video go viral, and it made it look like she was not a victim. She was into it kind of thing, and she wasn't. So he brought the guy who did all that to her over here so she could essentially kill her. And then the Crossed outbreak happens, and it just gets fucking crazy, man. It's... That book is just insane. Every four-issue arc, you never know what the hell you're going to get. But like other arcs, it doesn't have a happy ending.
Right.
Nobody survives this, including her family. Her father was pretty badass, though, but being traditional, and he was always selling art and stuff, but he knew how to use the katana.
Mm-hmm.
Is the katana Japanese?
Yes.
Okay. So he knows how to use the katana very well. So he was like lopping off Crossed left and right. But eventually they all got infected because you can't survive against the Crossed.
Right.
And she ends up killing herself. She drives a sword through herself. So she never becomes part of the Crossed, but... She sacrifices herself once she realizes everything's gone to hell. Plus, she had a rough life. Like, I just can't imagine that happening to anybody and then not being able to tell your family, you know what I mean, because of shame.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't tell her father what happened. She couldn't tell her mother what happened. She had to live with this in the back of her mind in secret. And she had no friends to go to tell it. It's like living with something that's horrible and you can't vent to anybody. You have to keep it inside. And the way she vented is through drawing manga. So it was a interesting Crossed. I think that's all that I wanted to mention.
I'm going to read something. Because the application should be due tomorrow, and so I should be done with everything tomorrow, and so I will read books between now and next show.
Cool deal.
Maybe I'll read this Marvel Infinity thing. Is that over with it?
Yeah. I read Infinity 1 and 2, and then it starts the Inhumans, or whatever that title's
right.
Start, where they... I like it. It's a great concept. Matt Fraction did some weird things in that Inhumans number one that I thought it was well written. I just don't like what he did.
Right.
And since you want to read it, I don't want to spoil it. But I'm an Inhumans fan. I mean, that's like one of Jack Kirby's great creations in my mind.
Yeah.
And he just did some questionable things that I don't like, but that's because not because they're not written well. It's because I don't want that to happen.
Right.
Like, I'll give him credit. It's good stuff. I enjoyed reading it. I just don't like the direction where he took my characters.
Right.
But I think that's all I wanted to mention. Let's see if Bill read anything. I don't know if what Bill would have read.
What would Bill have read this past?
He might have read Undertow number 1 from Image Comics.
He might have read that.
Yeah. And he might have liked it.
It is possible that he liked it.
I didn't.
Let's see. Would he have read... Let's see what...
Oh, I wonder if he read the Auteur. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it.
Auteur.
Auteur?
Yeah.
From Boom Studios. He might have read that. And that was really good. It was really weird. But it's really good. There's a lot of like Hollywood-themed type books out. Like me and Bill talked about two of them with the Revenge book and the one-shot, whatever the heck that was. And this is like a third one with a producer in it that that did a Warlord of Mars type thing. It was like really, really, really good, and then he really, really flopped. And I guess in Hollywood, there's not a lot of forgiveness. But there's a lot of other weird stuff that's going on in this book. He might have read that, and he might have liked that one. And those are the only two that I think I've read. Undertow, the art was really good, but I didn't like it. The story at all. The art.
What's it about?
It was like a Atlantean history type things. Like it's all about things that happen underwater and stuff, and these different factions in Atlantis.
Ah.
And, it looks like phenomenal. Like I would be curious to ask him if he would have thought of the story. I read my first Creepy. From Dark Horse. It was an anthology. Really, yeah. Really good. It's black and white. I think I liked there's three stories in there and I liked all three.
Nice.
Yeah. But I'm sure Bill would have read a lot more number ones.
A lot of number ones.
And they're probably Image number ones because they're putting out so many. And I'm sure there would have been one or two that he liked.
Possibly.
And he might even buy a trade, but he won't buy number two.
No. It's too late for that. You gotta wait for the trade now.
Yeah. So this has been Geek Brunch 201. And you can leave an iTunes review.
Do that.
Yes, please.
5 stars.
5 stars, leave an iTunes review. You can send an email to us at Mike or Bill at comicbooknoise.com. You could send Bill one and ask him where the hell he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might
ask him if he knows what time it is. Ask him what time it is.
Ask him what time it is on the East Coast.
And figure it out.
You can like us on Facebook by typing Geek Brunch and Geek Brunch Podcast and clicking the like button. And I'm not going to even say Forum for Geeks because I've let that thing go. I just haven't updated it.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty
much it. Is that it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's everything.
And we'll see you next time.
Absolutely. 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
It'll be another good show.
Text me if everything goes good, Micah. Like,
I will.
Let me or Barb know that you got in or... Or what? If it
happens, I'll let you know. I'll let you know that nothing exploded. But I don't know when I will find out for certain or not. Because I don't know when. Because I think they mail everything, like physically mail the stuff to Japan. So.
Oh. So it could be a ways away.
It might be like 2 or 3 weeks. So.
Yeah. Well, good luck.
Thanks.
Hope it all works out for you.
Me too.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Red. Well, I'd have been a
and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping, out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make.